stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 44 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not checked out the tools at South Harmon, you need to do that. Go to southharmonff.com or warp.life. They both take you to the same place, and you can check out all the amazing tools that we have. If you haven't checked out the Patreon either, you need to go and do that. Join the community, find those people that are thinking the same way as you, because realistically, if you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking the same way as everyone in the South Harmon community. So go to southharmonff.com or warp.life in order to find all those amazing features of the South Harmon community. With this episode, I want to wrap up the last four episodes that I've done on backup roster construction. I want to go through what I'm looking for if I'm trying to employ one of these strategies on one of my teams, and discuss where I might be even looking at specific teams in my portfolio to try and employ one of these strategies with how I'm already built or how the league already manages the values of players. So first, I want to look at, is it even feasible to pull these strategies off in some of your more standard leagues? I'm going to start with your standard lineup start 9 to 10. If you have that kind of league, you're probably going to default roster 5 quarterbacks, 7 running backs, 7 wide receivers, and 4 tight ends. Just by default, like, I'm going to say this is your lineup start 9 to 10. You have a tight end premium that's probably somewhere in the 1 to 1.5 range. Just pretty standard. This is how many positions the average manager is going to look to roster. In terms of having actual good players who you would expect being able to contribute, because you have enough injury coverage, you have some of the higher leverage guys in terms of like the higher leverage backups as the quarterbacks. You have your speculative tight ends that you're hoping have those high RAS scores and they do well in the NFL, things like that. So out of all of those players, you are now at a total roster of 23 players. So if you're looking at that, you're going to need to make sure that you have a large enough roster size to be able to accommodate any of these strategies. And so this is where it starts to get a little bit tricky. So for my quarterbacks, if I want to have backup quarterbacks trying to fill my second quarterback spot, I need 11 quarterbacks. So if you were to just tack that on to the end here, then you would say that you need 34 roster spots. But that's not quite what we're looking at here. In this instance, if we are saying, oh, we have 5 quarterbacks, but we're trying to fill our second one with a bunch of backups, really it's just 1 quarterback. So we're down to a total of 19 roster spots, and then we're filling in 11 backup quarterbacks, and so that comes out to being at exactly 30. So I'd need to have a total roster size of 30 players. Now, the reason I wanted to do this exercise on this one is to show how a lot of standard leagues, you can't really employ something like this backup strategy. If you're in a standard league where you have roster or start 9 to 10, you often are rostering only 25 players. When that's the case, you just don't have the room in order to roster all of these backup quarterbacks that you need. You know that you're going to have to get some of these guys off of waivers, so you need to make sure that you have that fab advantage in order to get all of these backup quarterbacks when they come into their opportunities. That's going to be difficult in terms of you need to have that extra value, and you need to account for that in terms of how you're going into the season. You need to know that if I'm playing the backup quarterback strategy, all my fab goes into quarterbacks. That high value running back who comes out of nowhere, you aren't spending fab on them because you don't need them because you have seven running backs. Those kinds of things, that's what you're going to need to be doing if you're playing this backup quarterback strategy. So you need to make sure that you have enough roster spots. And so in a lineup start 9 to 10, it's going to be this case for a lot of these positions. If we go to the running backs, I said you need 11 running backs for a lineup league. So if we're looking at 11 running backs in order to fill your second one consistently, we're taking our 7 running back number that you would normally have in your normal league, and we're going to dump that all the way down to 1. You have one guy to fill your one running back spot, and then the other 6, they all get added to the other running backs. So now you have 12 total running backs on your roster, which adding that to our 7 wide receivers, 5 quarterbacks, 4 tight ends, you end up with having a total of 27 players. Now this is where it becomes slightly more possible, because if you have a true tight ends don't matter style league, PPR of 0 for the not PPR of 0, bonus of 0 for the tight ends, PPR of 1, or even less if you're in a half PPR or no PPR league. If that tight end number comes down to 2, now you can hit that 25 number, which would be your target for a normal bench size in this kind of league. And so you're able to fit the running back strategy in here because of the fact that you're reducing that running back count in terms of the quality of those guys. So you're able to actually go through, you're able to be like, yes, I am going to cover this second running back spot entirely off of these running backs. And then all of your flexes are covered by your wide receivers. Or if you get lucky and you have 2 for a given week, then maybe you can fill a running back in one of those flex spots. For our wide receivers, we see a similar thing kind of play out. So with the wide receivers, we need 6 wide receivers to make up 1 wide receiver spot. Now, in your normal start 9 or 10, you actually start 3 wide receivers, so you need 2 other wide receivers. But that means if you're playing the fully backup wide receiver strat, then you end up with only needing to dedicate 8 roster positions to your wide receivers. So, if anything, this strategy almost works the best. You're able to take 5 quarterbacks, 7 running backs, 8 wide receivers, and 4 tight ends on your team, and you're able to do all of that within 24 roster spots. You don't need to go lean. In fact, this is something that could potentially work out really well if you're in a higher tight end premium league. If you're in a league where it's 1.75 or 2 points per tight end, then all of a sudden, you're able to roster all of those tight ends, those high value ones, and even those mid value ones that now actually have value as a result of those league settings. And by filling in that last wide receiver spot with 6 of these wide receivers that are well outside the normal range of a wide receiver that you would want, then you can do all of that in 24 roster spots. Even if you're in a start 9 or start 10 league where you only have 25 roster spots, you're fit in under that number. So it almost becomes the most optimal method to do when you're in that kind of niche scenario. The only thing I would caution against is if you're in that true tight ends don't matter kind of league, What you end up doing is you put so much value into the running backs. You are entirely reliant on your running backs because you need them to not only fill your 2 running back slots, but also your flex spot. And that becomes a really, really hard thing to rely on, especially if you only have 7 guys. When you start getting into injuries and bye weeks, you might find yourself in a pickle there. And usually, you don't have 7 of those really high-tier running backs which is kind of what you would need to pull off this any of these strategies. You need high values everywhere else. So you need the high value running backs and the high value quarterbacks, high value tight ends, if you're playing the backup wide receiver strategy. And same for all the other positions, just you need high value of the other positions. So if you're trying to potentially pull this off, I would look at doing this where the wide receiver strategy I'm trying to pull off in my lineup leagues where I have a higher tight end premium, because that's often where you're going to get a combination of the market and then also where the strategy is actually the most effective, because you have two different positions that you can use to utilize to fill your flex. Whereas if you're doing that for the running backs, you're reliant on the wide receivers, but at least those wide receivers have a lot more dynasty value. You're able to actually sell them if things go wrong. If your running backs are going wrong, you've got a bunch of dead weight on your roster, and that is not a good position to be in. Lastly, just to recap, I said that you do not want to play a backup tight end strategy for any lineup league. The tight ends are just too unpredictable for it, and there's just not enough that get into that top 12 range consistently enough that I would rely on it. So just play tight ends don't matter strategy if you're going to go that route. And so if you're in a tight ends don't matter league, it poses an interesting question of, can you really manipulate some things? So if I were to go down to only having one tight end on my roster, and then with that total based on everything else that I have, I'm at 20. And so I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but if you're able to implement the backup wide receiver strategy or the backup running back strategy on top of that, it might allow you to gain an insane warp advantage at another position. If your league is undervaluing those absolute top tier quarterbacks, talking like your Jaden Daniels, your Lamar Jacksons, Josh Allens, those guys are often undervalued in your 6 point per passing touchdown standard PPR start nine league. Those quarterbacks are just so powerful that if you can dump all of your value into getting two of those guys, it is something where you can now utilize the tight ends don't matter strategy and one of the running back or wide receiver strategies, and then continue to try and develop big bonuses at those other positions. Can you get yourself on those really high value wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee, even get yourself like Puka Nacua or Malik Nabers, like those guys that you can potentially fill in at the wide receivers. If, let's say, you can get yourself those two top quarterbacks, two of those top wide receivers, and then you play the backup wide receiver strategy for everything else. Yeah, you're reliant on those four players staying healthy. But now you have a team where you have four players that are so dominant, you might be able to win weeks just off of those four guys. You might not need like barely any points off of the rest of your team other than just, yeah, I have three running backs filling in the other spots. It might get hairy at times, but those kinds of strategies can be what allow you to use some limited value and put it into the right places to be able to dominate your league. And then if any of those guys do get injured, well, their value doesn't really go down that much. Everyone wants a piece of Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson or Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. Those guys get hurt for a little bit. You can probably sell them for a piece that is really, really darn close, if not just for basically the same value that you had them at before. Now, I want to turn some attention to best ball first before I talk about deeper starting lineup and total roster sizes. So for best ball, I'm just going to start with a start 10 best ball league. What would I consider to be the standard, hey, this is not a best ball degenerate. This is just somebody just trying to do a best ball league because they've never done it before. And so in a start 10 best ball, let's say they make everything exactly the same. They decide to do a roster size of 25. And so if you're going to be filling out a roster in best ball, you want to have at least two players for every single position. So for a start 10, you need to assume that you're going to need 20 players in order to fill out that roster. And this is where it starts to get a little bit hairy. Whereas in the previous lineup leagues, where I was able to reduce a lot of numbers when trying to replace the number of players that I needed to fill a position, that's not going to happen here. At any point, if I'm saying, okay, I can fill one running back spot with 10 running backs over the course of the season, and I could maybe do it with a little bit less, I only reduce the total of running backs that I need by two. So I have 18, and then if I need 10 in there, I now need a roster size of 28. The same thing goes for wide receivers. I need 10 for a minimum in best ball, and those all need to be number one wide receivers. But I'm only reducing that total number that by two. So I'm at that 18 number again. So at minimum, I need 28. And that's only if I am choosing wide receivers in that 51 to 86 range. It's really, really hard to dominate a range of any position by that much. You're trying to get nearly a third of all the wide receivers in that range. And unless your league mates are kind of just ignoring that range, you are going to have a really, really hard time doing that. And so then you need to get two number two wide receivers for every wide receiver that you miss out on that. I would expect that you can probably get yourself to like seven if you really try, which means that the total number of wide receivers is 13. That's how many you're going to need. And so you tack that 13 onto that 18 total number, and all of a sudden now you're all the way up at needing 31 roster spots in order to just fill out your best ball team. So it becomes much, much harder if you have a smaller roster size in best ball. The same thing goes for the tight ends and for the quarterbacks. You need 10 to 14 tight ends for best ball, so you're looking at that 28 to 32 number. And for quarterbacks, you need 11, so you're looking at 29. So yeah, if you have a start 10 and you're rostering a total of 30 players, that can fit. That can work out really well for you. However, if you have less than that, if you're at that same as the lineup, start 10, roster 25, you do not have near enough roster space in order to employ any of these strategies. So this is where you need to start to really pay attention to what exactly is your league and how many roster spots you have available to you. I'm in quite a few South Harmon leagues. And so in those leagues, we have really, really deep benches. And my initial thought when I was looking at some of these numbers was I was like, I might be able to employ potentially two of these strategies in the same league. I could do a wide receiver and a running back in the same league for this best ball. And then I realized that just wasn't going to be the case. Because in our leagues where we have a total of 40 players rostered, we often have starters that are like 13 deep. So you have 26 total players. And so you tack on, okay, I'm going to reduce that by four, trying to do two of these strategies. That goes down to 22. But then I need to do two strategies, which at a minimum, if you do wide receiver and a perfect wide receiver and a perfect running back, you're already up at 42. That's deeper than our total roster size. So we can't employ both of those into the same one. And the same thing goes for the quarterbacks at 11, and tight ends are also at 10. You can't fit any combination when you get that deep unless you're rostering all the way down to like 45. And if you're rostering all the way down to 45, you still need to have enough players in the relevant ranges for all of these. You need to make sure that you have enough starters to fill all of those other positions well enough that you don't need to worry about them. And then you need to get enough of these backups. But remember, if you're rostering all the way down to 40 players, because I'm in a few of these leagues, your waiver wires are so bare. And for all of these strategies to work, you don't have players that are waiver wire quality in those kinds of leagues. The players that are on the waivers in those kinds of leagues are the guys that are on practice squads. You don't have anyone that's on a 53-man roster who is on waivers unless they're injured. Those are the only guys that are even on waivers. Everyone with a chance. Like, we even pick up guys who are getting activated for that weekend, just on the off chance that they come onto the field and do something. So you need to have a good enough team that you are not reaching for the waiver wire at all, because you know all of your players are miles better than the quality of players who are on waivers. And so knowing that, you cannot pull off two of these strategies in the same best ball league. I don't have a single league where I think I could do that. I do not have one where the bench sizes are long enough and I want to spend that much time in value accrual just to blow all that value accrual on trying to pull one of these strategies off. There's no point in trying to do that. Why not just take all that value accrual and get better players and play a more balanced strategy? Maybe I can do this backup roster construction with one position, but there's not a point in trying to do it with two, because it's just going to be so annoying, A, to pull off. You need to pull off all the trades to accumulate all those players on your team. And then you're just spending all that value trying to get your players to be better quality than what's on waivers. And frankly, I like to be able to take some shots on some of those practice squad call-ups, because every once in a while, you'll get a week or two out of them and just be lucky. And in the grand scheme of things, just trying to accumulate all of those guys, it just takes so much time that in my large portfolio, I just don't have the time to really focus in on any one league to that degree. So where this can be useful is in those best ball leagues where you have the space to pull off one of these strategies. So I've kind of done this at an extreme level in some leagues before, South Harmon Dynasty Degenerates being one of those, where I didn't get any wide receivers. Now, if I were trying to pull off this strategy in that league again, where I was completely skipping the wide receivers, what I would need to do is try and get some better wide receivers and not be relying on my wide receiver one being Jacoby Myers and my wide receiver like three on the season being in 2023. It was literally like Bo Melton or something like that. Like, it was really, really crusty at the wide receiver position. I still ended up winning a championship because of how Warp works in that league, but this isn't the way that I would try and pull it off if I were to try and do it again. I would try and have a little bit better quality wide receivers, and then I'm looking at how I can try and fill that fourth wide receiver spot. And as I look through that league specifically, we're starting 16 players. If I'm trying to do my times two strategy, that would mean that I need to roster 32 players in a normal situation. If I'm replacing one wide receiver spot, I need to do that off of exactly 10 players, because we are a roster 40 in that league. And you reduce that 32 down by 2 to 30, and then tack on the 10. So even in that kind of league, I want every single one of my wide receivers to be a number one wide receiver on their team. I rode that team to a championship win off of a ton of wide receivers who were wide receiver twos. And so it goes to show that I probably was misconstructed and still got lucky. I got lucky that I had these running backs that were so overvalued. I overvalued them compared to the league, and I got lucky that it all worked out well. If I'd lost a bunch of those running backs, or if I just had a down week from a couple of them because of how lightly I knew I constructed my team at the running back position, I would have ended up losing from a roster construction standpoint when I got to the championship. And I knew that was a very real possibility. I got lucky that championship week there were some huge running back performances. But you come back to this season, and I got to the championship again, but I ended up losing. And that loss came a large part to the fact that my wide receiver position was too weak. I could not keep up with the number of points that my competitor was putting up, and my running backs did not provide the difference that they had the year before. So if I'm looking at how do I want to potentially use this to affect a league like that, I recognize that running backs were the position that was undervalued, and so I put a lot of value into those running backs. But then my wide receivers, I decided to let it go too deep. I did not get good enough wide receivers. I should have gotten myself some better wide receivers a little earlier rather than going for all the running backs that I did. And that would have given me a little bit more of a balanced team to be able to pull off something like this. I would have been able to, maybe I didn't quite have the full space on my roster in order to roster the sheer number of wide receivers that I need to when I'm starting to roster all these wide receiver two types, but I'd be really close to it. And that's the important takeaway, is a lot of these strategies are going to be things that you're barely going to be able to fit in. And you're going to have to make some sacrifices in the number of other positions that you're rostering on your teams. In best ball, it's a little bit easier to say, I'm going to stick with the two per each starting position rule, and that will help you out a lot. And if you end up with deeper roster sizes as a result of it being best ball, that's going to work out well. You have a start 12, and then you're rostering 35 players. That's going to help so much with being able to pull one of these strategies off. But a lot of our leagues, we don't have that. A lot of our leagues, you're going to have to be willing to say, what is the concession that I can make? How can I jam this strategy in to try and go to this extreme? And you have to be able to get uncomfortable. One of the phrases that I've heard a lot when talking about fantasy football is you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's ultimately what this strategy gets you, is it gets you a numeric value to put on how uncomfortable is the maximum that you can go. What is the most extreme strategy where you are at a point that you can still be competitive while stretching the limits as far as you possibly can? If you stretch them further than the values that I've put out in these last five episodes, then you're likely going to fail. But if you stay within these parameters, you're going to be able to be just as competitive as if you were being the totally chalk strategy. You were doing just what everyone else does. And if you're doing that kind of strategy, you're leaving a lot of other abilities that you have in terms of playing to the value of your league, playing to what your league mates are doing when they're doing the startup draft, when they're offering you trades, and you're able to take advantage of all of those things that allow you to have that edge over your league mates. And if you can embrace a strategy like this and you're able to implement it to its fullest extent, it allows you to do all the other things that we like to do as Dynasty managers, and that you, as somebody that's listening to this content right now, are probably really good at. It frees you up to use your innate ability to play off of your league mates, to be able to use those skills that you've honed in order to actually turn your value into points production. This is just one strategy in a series of numerous strategies that I've talked about on this podcast or have been talked about elsewhere, where you try and get yourself into something extreme, something that makes you uncomfortable, that you're able to implement and able to use to great effectiveness. This is just putting numbers to what is that strategy's limits, how far can you go? And so what I'm going to be doing is going through my leagues and seeing, am I in position to pull one of these strategies off? If I am in position, I'm going to start implementing it. If I'm not in position, I don't need to do one of these strategies. It's not a requirement to win. So you can utilize all your other strategies that you have to already help you win a dynasty league. But this is just one way that you can go in order to help yourself out. If you want to get access to the South Harmon Discord, go to patreon.com/SouthHarmon and talk about these strategies. Figure out, hey, is this going to work with this league? As you're in that new startup draft, ask for advice. Hey, this is the roster I've already been building. Is it worth just continuing to pass on this position and then try and employ one of these strategies? Or do I need to not necessarily do that now and just go a little bit more chalk in this startup draft? Go join the South Harmon community. Warp.life gets you to the Warp tool. SouthHarmonFF.com gets you to everything. And that's all that I have for you for this week. Enjoy your Super Bowl weekend. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.